Amen. Well, as the choir's going down from the choir loft, I want to say thank you to them. You know, many of you know this, but many of you do not, that they have made the commitment to sing in both services. So they get to get a double blessing on Sunday mornings. And by the way, I don't know, you know, Daniel and I never sit down and go, okay, here's the song you're supposed to sing. But I love the choir special this morning. That is my favorite Celtic hymn. And there's a line in there that every one of us ought to have deep in our heart when he prays, "Be not else to me except what you are." Now he says it in Celtic language. But that really is the prayer all of us should have in our hearts, that what we want is we want God to be God in our lives at all times. And so thank you, choir, for letting us hear that once again and reminding us of that. It is my privilege this morning to recognize Ken and Debbie Rohr. They are our Awana missionaries. 7 years ago, I was coming as the pastor of the First Baptist Church, and Ken was getting in the middle of his training to become the Awana missionary for our area. And to show you how neat God is, now one of our own is serving as interim pastor in Englewood Baptist Church, right? Englewood Baptist? I'm going to say First Baptist Englewood, but it's Englewood Baptist. First Baptist Englewood? Okay. And so they're trying to reignite their children's ministry. And so when I was talking to them about what we did, and I just simply told him, I said, you know, one thing that had more impact than anything else was our starting our Awana team and putting our Awana program in place. And so he's now helping them start their Awana program at First Baptist Englewood. So this morning, if you would join me in welcoming Ken Rohr as he comes to share with us his testimony. Ken? God bless you.
Yes, I was just sharing with Pastor Ron there in between services that I met this Thursday night with Lee Young over at First Baptist of Englewood, and they're considering starting Awana. And now, see, I started to talk and the kids leave. What's going on with this? I thought I had something to do with kids. What's going on? No, it's all right. The verse that Brother Dan read was on the back of our prayer card. And I put that on there when we became missionaries 7 years ago, because it's a reminder to me that we all, but mainly for me, that I need to be an example in all that I do, in my words and my conduct, and as I shared earlier, when I'm driving, because I get really frustrated with some people when they drive. And then they don't use their turn signal. You're one that I'd be yelling at then. Just drives me nuts. And Debbie reminds me, says, "Ken, just calm down. It's okay. You know, God gave her to me almost 40 years ago to try to calm me for these sort of things." You know, so okay. I was asked to come and tell you how we became missionaries. But before I do that, in between services, Pastor Ron and I were chatting a little bit, and we talked a little bit about golf. Now, I play golf, kind of, sort of, maybe. I play military golf. Left, right, you know. And it never goes very straight. But there was a senior pastor one Sunday morning. It was a beautiful Sunday morning, 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. And he said, "I'm going to go play golf." This is Sunday morning, mind you. So he called his associate. Maybe it would have been Lee or Daniel. I don't know. Who knows? Somebody. Just said, "Can you cover for me? I'm not feeling very well." Right there's a problem, right? Okay. And the associate said, "Yes, we'll take care of that." So he gets in his car, senior pastor now, and drives 80 miles away to play golf. And he's stretching out. You know, you do all these fancy things and stuff and play golf. At least it makes you look good. We can't do anything with a club, but it likes to look good. And the angels are up in heaven saying, "Lord, are you going to let him get away with this?" And the Lord says, "Well, let's just see what happens." So the man, you know, he's paid his fees. He's got his glove on, you know, and he's getting ready to drive. And he tees off, and it's a 300-yard drive, hole in one. And the angel said, "Lord, I thought you weren't going to let him get away with this." And the Lord just smiled and says, "Who in the world is he going to tell?" Right? So if he's never not here on a beautiful Sunday morning, ask him where he went. No, no. I'm only joking. Anyway. I'm lucky if I can get something to go 30 yards straight, much less 300, okay? Anyways. 1976, Debbie and I had moved to Arlington Heights, Illinois. We attended the First Baptist Church of Arlington Heights. It was a suburb of Chicago, and they had an Awana Club. I had no idea what Awana was. But they asked us to be their teen leaders. And at that time, they had something called Shipmates. It's now called Journey for the grades 9 through 12. So Debbie and I served at that, and we were trained at Awana headquarters and Rolling Meadows facility, which is what it was then. It is now in Streamwood, Illinois. They had their younger groups up through grade 6, which is what you folks have here, and on a different night. And the night that they had those, I had to work, so I wasn't able to served very much in the younger clubs at the time, but Debbie was. But in 1978, we moved back to upstate New York. We went to Arlington Heights from upstate New York between Rochester and Syracuse. We lived in a town called Geneva, New York, which is, again, between Rochester and Syracuse and just north of Seneca Lake, one of the Finger Lakes. And the church here was Grace Baptist Church, and they had had an Awana Club, and we started. We got there. We said, "I think you should start it again." Well, that didn't work out. A few years later, the pastoral change, and the fellow came in was just a strong Awana man. He wanted to start Awana again. And so he did. Debbie and I served as leaders. We were the grades 3 through 6 directors. At that time, they called them pals and pioneers, chums and guards, which is now Truth and Training, okay? If anybody remembers some of those older ones there, you know, they had little dingle-dangle things and all sorts of weird little things that you could step on and hurt your foot and everything. But and that's just what I'm thinking about that. Where's the Sparky leaders? I saw Lisa earlier. Where's some of you Sparky leaders, okay? Did I ever tell you the best way to find one of the jewels? Walk around barefoot and you'll find them every time. It's exactly right. So it works every time, right? It works, right? Anyway, so we were starting in New York, and we started serving. We were there for 25 years. We served as leaders, directors, commanders. After several years, we had a bunch of our sixth graders graduate out of there, and they come back to help on club night. But we had so many helpers that we couldn't get anything done. So I went to the Board of Deacons. I was on that board at that time. And I asked, I said, "I would like to start the junior high club, and I would oversee it." And they said, "Okay." Well, 2 years later, we had the same issue. They were now going into ninth grade. Because that usually the junior high is just 7th and 8th graders. So I went back to the Board of Deacons and we changed around again. So I kind of deemed myself as the commander for the club. I oversaw the whole thing with Debbie's help. She kind of kept me in line again. You know how you wives do that stuff, right? So, and first of all, Debbie, why don't you stand up? This is the woman that has put up with me for over 40, or almost 40 years. So she's a great helpmeet. And she's able to travel with me quite a bit now, and I'll share that in just a few minutes. But we started serving there, and we also worked in what they call their ministry team. We would help the local Awana missionary. The fellow was actually lived in Meadville, PA, and he had Western New York and Western Pennsylvania. His name was Marlon Fuller. And we helped him with Bible quizzing and Awana games and all sorts of different things. And God kept tugging on my heart a little bit. Well, in 2002, I was laid off, and I was looking for what should I do for a job. I was sending my resume out to all sorts of places, and God kept tugging on my heart, and he said, "Ken, I want you as a missionary." And this is coming from a guy who was never a very strong student. Reading was a chore for me. Writing was even worse. So I had to fill out an application of 21 questions, 17 of which were essays of 200 words or more. You can imagine the drudgery that was for me. Now, some folks like to read and write, like some of these guys down here. This was not one of them, okay? And so we filled out the application and we sent it off. The end of October, or during October of 2002, I accepted the position that brought me to Ohio. Worked for A.O. Smith and up in Tip City. Worked in their purchasing department. The day that I accepted that position, I also sent my application in to become an Awana missionary. Well, a few months passed and everything. I get out to Ohio, and Debbie's still back. She has to sell her home and take care of a few things there. And she gets a call from Awana headquarters. She didn't know if it was from Awana headquarters. She just asked for me. And she said, well, he doesn't live here right now. That's about what happened. It was one of them the pauses, right? You just see my application going through the shredder, right? Okay? But she explained to him that we were in transition and everything, and so that got taken care of. And I shared that with other Awana missionaries and the fellow who did that. He's no longer with Awana. I think he's passed on maybe now, but they said, that guy's jaw probably just went right to the bottom of the floor there and hit it because of the fact that I wasn't living at that house right now. But anyway, through that application process, it was determined that I probably should have some Bible training, which is never a bad thing, right? But remember, this is a guy who's not a great student, okay? So bookwork is tough for me. So we get settled into our church up in Troy. We live in Troy. We went to Grace Baptist in Geneva, New York, to Grace Baptist Troy, Ohio. And we served there for a few years. We started in fall of 2003 to work in the TNT age. Debbie was the leader. I was asked to be the director, so we served there for a number of years. But 2 or 3 years there, I looked at Debbie and I just said, I probably ought to work on this correspondence course that Awana said I should have through Moody Bible. And whether I became a missionary or not, it certainly wasn't going to hurt me, was it? So we took that. And for someone who was a non-student, I did pretty good because I was now motivated. I got A's and B's on all the courses, which is a pretty incredible feat for me, honestly. but we kept moving on with that. And then in 2006, I was preparing to go up to Awana headquarters. Steve Schenk, I was going to ride up with him. Many of you know Steve. He's the lead missionary. He's now the state director for Ohio and 3 other states around here. And I just looked at Debbie and I said, you know, I should probably deal with this Awana thing. I think that's what I said. And she just looked at me and just said yes. She knew that I was going to be a missionary probably before I knew that. Okay? And so all the way up, I asked Steve questions. 5 hours in a car, just kept peppering with questions. And on the way up, I determined, I says, okay, it was time for me to accept the call. That God kept knocking on my head, knocking on my heart, saying, Ken, I want you in full-time service. And so I determined it up there. Mike Magnuson, who was Steve's predecessor, who was a regional missionary here in Ohio, he had for a couple other states, heard that I was going to, that I thought I was going to do that, become a missionary. And they reactivated my application. And so he bellowed in the atrium up at Awana headquarters, says, so Ken, when are you going to be a missionary for us? And he was a big man, so he could really bellow. Okay. And he had heard, Steve had told him. And so a lot of things have happened. After the application was kind of re-energized, if you will, Mike Magnuson had to interview us. So he came, we set up a time, it was in October one time, and came and interviewed us for 4 hours. Anybody had a 4-hour interview? That's a long time. It was over a meal. And as we walked into CJ Highmark's up in Troy, which is now Logan's Steakhouse, the fellow that I was working with at A.O. Smith was sitting right in the booth over there, and we were going to sit in his table. So I kind of whispered that to Mike, and he goes, okay, we won't talk about anything until they leave. So they left after a while. Unbeknownst to me, Mike Magnuson, the Awana missionary, had talked with my senior pastor, Mike Aris. He's not there now, up in Troy. Had lunch with him before, trying to see what I was doing. See how I was, what sort of my Christian walk. And Pastor Mike shared with Mike Magnuson an event that had happened in the church, and he appreciated my stand on it and the way that I handled it. And so Mike Magnuson thought that was probably an all right thing, because I mean, that showed my character and that I stood for what was right. And speaking of character, when I did that application, I had to have 10 references. So I'm going to find 10 people that like me. Right? That's what you do for references, right? 10 people that like you. And then of those 10 people, I want to ask those 10 to give them 10 more. And then they asked again, give us 10 more. So they were trying to find any skeleton in my closet. Well, obviously, I hit it pretty good because they still hired me. Okay? But that shows you the depth that Awana wanted to make sure that I was who I said I was, and that I was not, I'll say, going to embarrass them, but more importantly, embarrass Jesus' name. So that's what they wanted to do, to find out what sort of a man I was. And we actually had to have a psychological test, and those things drive me nuts. If anybody's given them, I apologize, but those things drive me absolutely nuts. They ask the same question 4 or 5 different times, different ways, just to see if I answer it the same way, you know? And the psychologist up in Chicago called us on the phone and talked to us for about 45 minutes, intends to kind of going over all the things, and she finally said, you know, I guess you're not an axe murderer and you won't hit a child. I said, that's probably a pretty accurate thing, you know, so it's pretty good. But those things just drive me nuts anyways. But we did get through. We went up to a first session of candidate school called Missionary Candidate School 1, January of 2007. I know when I put in for the vacation for that, like the month or so before, my boss asked me, he goes, so, Ken, are you going somewhere warm? And I said, no, I'm going to Chicago. He goes, oh, that's not very warm. Not in January, right? So we get up there to candidate school and start on a Monday morning. By Tuesday morning, I had a knot right in my chest. It said, Ken, you have to tell A.O. Smith what your plans are. And I shared that with Debbie and the friends up there, and they all thought I was nuts. Especially Debbie. She knows I'm nuts anyways, okay? Just talk to her, right? And I knew that I had to share with him what I was going to do. So we get through the week of training, and January 23rd at 7:45 in the morning, it was a Tuesday because my boss was sick on Monday, I walk into his office before he turns his computer on, shut the door, and tell him, I says, I'm not giving you my resignation, but my long-range plan is this. I'm going to be an Awana missionary. He looked at me with the deer in the headlight look, right? He says, what in the world is that? So I explained it to him. So I had a chance to witness a little bit to him. He says, okay, give me a time. I says, I can't. It depends on a whole lot of different things. But I says, I will give you a minimum of 1 month's notice. As a purchasing agent, I was responsible for quite a bit of spend for A.O. Smith across the world. So it was, to me, it was way more than just a two-week notice job. I mean, 2 weeks, it takes you that long to figure out how you want to put that in the newspaper, right? Put it on the internet now, but, you know, get the idea. So he came to me the end of January, and he says, Ken, thanks for telling us what you're going to do. We appreciate that, but we have a business to run. Your last day will be March 31st. I says, okay, God's in control. And I appreciated that. So we started going on. We do all the things. By mid-March, he comes to me. He says, Ken, can you stay through April? I said, sure, but I have some appointments set up, not expecting to be working there. And they said, go. Go to your appointments. Took care of that. That's fine. Mid-April, Ken, can you stay through May? Now, by now, I'm ready to go, okay? I was so ready to start doing what I know God had called me to do. But I said, yes, I can stay through May. I says, one of my goals was to train my replacement so they wouldn't have to pick up the pieces. I had a chance to train my replacement for 2 weeks and 2 days. And the fellow said, Ken, I'd like to have you for another week. I said, well, that's not my call. So, but May 31st, 2007 was my last day at A.O. Smith. As I was walking around saying goodbye to people, one of my coworkers said, Ken, so what are you going to do? So I had a chance to share with him. He says, oh, kind of with a smirk on his face, he says, oh, you're worried about your immortal soul, are you? And I said, no, I'm not worried about mine. I know where I'm going. But I am worried about others. And he looked at me and he said, well, you should worry about mine. I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with this man in the hallways of A.O. Smith as I was getting ready to leave. I've emailed him a couple times and he shared, he says, Ken, I'm all right with where I'm at spiritually, but thank you anyways. So I pray that somebody will have talked to him again and maybe someday he will accept Christ as his Savior. But I actually had prayed to get laid off. And God honored that. Not too many people pray to get laid off, right? Kind of little goes against the common sense thing, right? But I said, if I can be laid off, I can receive unemployment. So versus me just resigning my position, right? I can receive unemployment. So there's some funds coming into the house while I'm doing the ministry of Awana and raising my support. A lot of you may know, I mean, this church supports us financially, and we appreciate that. As a Awana missionary, I'm 100% faith supported. I don't receive my salary if there's no funds at Awana headquarters. But God has blessed us and has supported us very well. So I prayed to get laid off. Well, middle of December of 2007, I received my last unemployment check. Middle of January of 2008, I received my first part-time salary from Awana headquarters. And so that went on for a couple of years. And Debbie and I had thought that if we got to about, I'll say, 70, 75% of what the amount that Awana headquarters thought that I should have, that she would resign her position, and then she could be able to start serving with me more. Well, that didn't happen for a while. We stayed at about 70% for a long, long time. I actually should say about 80%. We stayed at 70% for a long time. I was ready for it 6 months before it happened, but about 4 years ago, Debbie resigned her position as the only social worker in a 100-bed nursing home facility. So that was a lot of work, and she was burned out. She was ready to quit. So she did resign, and she actually worked part-time there at that nursing home for a couple months while they found a replacement themselves. But within 6 months of her doing that, our support rose 20%. And it has stayed over 90% for about 2-3 years now. And we praise God for that. And you folks are obviously a part of that. And I thank you for that. But she can travel with me almost 100% now. We go to different Awana clubs. We go to different trainings. And even though I'm not a bad guy to talk to, most of the Awana workers are ladies. And they'd sooner go talk to her than me. We get into the car to come home, and she said, you know, such and such said something to me. And I says, that's good. They probably wouldn't have said that to me. We have the privilege of serving together, and we can split off and go different ways. Often when we're here, she's doing the lesson here, and I'm doing listening to handbook time with TNT or somebody, right? Works that way. So God has blessed us incredibly for that. But along with that, we had the privilege of going to Israel and Egypt in 2012. And we were asked to, go ahead please. We were asked to talk about how to help Awana workers over in Israel and Egypt. If anybody's been to Israel, you know what a tremendous blessing that is. And I can open my Bible and the things that I read in there, like Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Nazareth, you know, I saw those places. The first town we were in Israel was Nazareth. And we were showing the pictures to the kids last club year, or two club years ago. It says, when Jesus was your age and he grew up in Nazareth, we had a chance to walk where he walked. And you could just see their eyes just open up, right? And my eyes were opened up. Debbie's eyes were opened up when we see our Bible in the towns that we had a chance to be there. But we were asked to do like a commander high school, I call it, for some of the leaders in Israel. And here's myself, and Debbie was involved with this too. We tried to help with handbook time. And so we had a chance to share with some of the Awana leaders how to run an effective handbook time. And handbooks are when you're working one-on-one with the kids. And you have a chance to share the gospel with them as you teach them those verses. And that's your number one goal, is to help them understand those verses. You know, it's a nice goal for a child to finish their book. And Ruth and Ryan were sharing me, they got a lot of awards to give out tonight. A lot of finished books. And that's a great goal. But guys, when you're working with those kids on those verses, that's a time you can share with them what they mean. It's more important that they understand 10 verses than all 70 or whatever they're in their books. And so I encourage you to continue to do that. Again, it's a goal to finish the book, but it's more of a goal to get them closer to Christ. And that's what we do in Awana. You have a chance to work with the boys and girls that come here to show that Christ died for their sins and that he was buried and he rose again, as we celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. But while we were there, we had a chance to, we had two teams, red team and blue team. You know, Awana is all about red, blue, green, and yellow, right? They taught us some verses, some words in Arabic. And the ones that I have, I don't remember them now because I haven't used them much. But we've got Akmar, Azrak, Akdar, and Asfar. That's red, blue, green, and yellow in Arabic. I was on the red team, so I was going Akmar, Akmar. And the other team was the blue team. And they were laughing every time I'd say it. I'd go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Terry Bell, who's a commander up in Wapakoneta Church, went along with us, and he found out why they were laughing so much. And he found out whatever I was saying, it was not Akmar, because it was coming out donkey. And so he, that's all he needed. He just said, he just kept getting me to go donkey, 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 and just laugh, 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 laugh. All these kids were, it was a lot of fun. But we had a chance to share with them, you laugh at yourself, right? Because if you're not laughing at yourself, somebody else will be. And I do all sorts of weird things. You know the phrase, open mouth, insert your foot? Well, I insert my leg all the way up to the hip bone. And then I change legs. Because I say more words than I need to say sometimes. But after we left Israel, and we drove for I don't know how many hours, we left at 8:30 in Israel, and we got to our hotel in Alexandria, Egypt, like 1:30 the next morning. Drove across the Sinai Desert. We saw all sorts of interesting things. Lots of sand over there. They don't get much snow, but they get lots of sand. We got a chance to visit some Awana clubs. This is again now 2 years ago. This was their ninth year. You can see we got Sparky up there. He traveled around with us. A chance to share with the Awana clubs over there. And they have pledges just like we do here. Now, they don't pledge to the American flag. But they talk about the Awana clubs, and they say pledges, and they open up their Awana clubs often like you guys do here. I know I've seen that. Next one. Now, the Awana Game Square, the official size is 40-foot square with a 30-foot diameter circle. Now, Brother Lee, yours isn't quite that big up there in the fellowship hall, and you might have 40, maybe 50 kids at a time or around there. This is a 15-foot square. In the basement of a church in Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt, with 65 kids, 15 leaders, and 7 Americans. So you can imagine how close fellowship that was. And it was warm. You know, we're talking Egypt, okay? Well, I didn't say this in the first service, but when we were in Cairo, we had a chance to go to the pyramids. And what an incredible sight. It was, I mean, there's nothing there but the sun. And it was so hot. It was the hottest I'd ever been in my life. And I was just melting, just like I was melting. But anyway, these kids were running around and they were having a blast. And the kids there are the same as the kids here. They want to have fun, but they also want to know about Jesus. And that's what we had a chance to find out about over in Egypt. Next one, please. Debbie had a chance to teach a lesson, like we do here many, many times. Over there, she used a dirty sock to talk about eternal security. Of course, she used one of my socks. Why would she want to use hers, right? Okay? Now, that wasn't called for, dear. But she would talk for a few minutes, and then it'd have to be translated into Arabic. And the fellow in the red shirt, his name is Albert Escala. He's the Egyptian missionary. He's there for Middle East and North Africa. But as an Egyptian, he can't go into Israel. So that's kind of funny, right? He's the missionary for that, the head missionary for that whole place, but he can't go to Israel. So they go meet in Jordan someplace, right? But so he would translate for her in Arabic for the kids so that they can understand. Next one. Also had a chance to take part of handbook time. Now, Debbie obviously can't do the verses because she doesn't know Arabic, and these kids didn't understand English. But it's a nice picture anyways, so, okay. But while we were there, we had a chance, again, three different Awana clubs. One of the Awana clubs, there was a little girl, her name was Marvell. She was 6 years old, and she sang a song for us in English, which is pretty incredible because I can barely sing a song in English. And her, that's a second language for her. But she liked me lots. I didn't put the picture in, but she came up and planted a nice kiss, right, a big old kiss on my cheek. So she liked me for some reason. No, nobody could figure that out over there. But anyway, we had a marvelous time in Israel and Egypt, and we would love to be able to go back sometime. But with all the unrest over there, who knows what's happening. In 2012, there was less than 100 Awana clubs in Egypt. As of March 31st of this year, there are now 143 Awana clubs in Egypt. So that just says that when God's church, thank you, when God's church gets challenged, it grows. So whether we have conflict, whether you get pressure, maybe you don't like what's going on, for whatever reason, Satan's attacking you, God's going to honor your faithfulness. So keep on keeping on, you Awana leaders. I know Pastor Ron will have you stand up here in a minute, but, or at least I think he will. But anyway.
Yes, I will.
Okay. But you guys need a break. I know that. You know, all the Awana leaders go like this, right? Okay. Okay. The kids think they don't need a break, but they need a break too. But we get a chance to share God's word, whether it's here in the United States, in the faraway country of Fairborn, Ohio today, or whether it's in Alexandria, Egypt, where the boys and girls need to know Jesus as well, and that we'll all be in heaven someday, and we can all sing songs, whether it be English, Arabic, or whatever it is we're going to sing up there, right? So I ask that you would continue to pray for Debbie and I as we travel. We average 1,500 miles a month, up and down 75. We stay in touch with 175 Awana clubs. There's over 400 here in the state of Ohio. And what a privilege and what a blessing to serve in something which 10 years ago I'd have laughed if you had told me that I'd be an Awana missionary. There's nothing special about me other than I'm a willing servant. And if you are a willing servant, whether it's Awana, Sunday school, or whatever it is that you do, then God is going to use you and He will bless you for that. So keep on praising Him. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for keeping us on the road as we serve Him here in Ohio. Thank you so much.